You know, we should give a class on how to enjoy life, how to taste the tea. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam she'hakol nivra.
Amen.
Very good. Baruch Hashem.
Could someone teach you how to be happy?
Yes, you can teach. You can learn how to be happy. It's a skill. It's a skill. It's not something which you know. Very few people are happy growing up, unless you're South American. Then everyone's happy. Then you're happy naturally. Some people are naturally happy. The South Americans are naturally. You go there, they're happy. Happy all the time. But when they're sad, when they're down, oh boy, it's a disaster. So they're up and down. So a person's going to learn how to be stable.
I think it's the nature of a person.
Okay. It's nature and nurture. It's two things. There's nature and there's nurture. Can you teach a kleptomaniac not to steal?
No.
Better. You better have. Sure. Because naturally, all of us are kleptomaniacs. You see a kid in a candy shop, of course they're kleptomaniacs. So we're all kleptomaniacs. So that's the answer. We have to teach. So it's nurture. Nature and nurture. So you can have some people who are naturally happy and some people are naturally miserable. And you have to teach them. They have to teach themselves how to be happy. It's a decision that a person's going to make. We said nobody can make us happy. They can give us the tools to be happy. But it's a decision that we have to make to be happy what we have. And the Torah says to be a mitzvah to be happy. You shall rejoice with all the good that Hashem has given you. Imagine a person has all the goodness and they're not unhappy. Just read last week. Stupid. This woman, she was a dietitian in New York. 26-year-old dietitian. She came from San Francisco. One day she just gave up. She just committed suicide. Crazy. She wrote letters to her mother. I'm sorry, mother. There's nothing in life for me. So what's the problem? The problem is today a lot of people feel empty inside. They have everything, she said, I have everything. And I have nothing.
Materially,
she had everything, but she was empty inside. There's no purpose to life. So Judaism gives us a purpose to life. That's one of the gifts that Hashem gave us. One of the gifts Hashem gave us is every morning, we get up with a mission. We have a mission. What is our mission?
Be happy.
Part of it is to be happy, and part of it is to make others happy. Because one of the techniques to be happy is, if you can make someone else happy, you're going to be happy. You know, my father-in-law was a very smart guy. He was very smart. He outfoxed me many times. My father-in-law was a genius. I get married. Day after, he comes to visit. I want a secret to share with you. I got a secret for you. A secret? Everyone, we all like secrets. He said, you'd only be happy if she's happy. Gosh. Okay. True, 100% true. If she's not happy, you're not going to be happy. So spend your time making her happy. The only trouble is, some women are HM. You know what HM is? High maintenance. Some are high maintenance and low maintenance. So making some people happy is very hard. It's very hard. Okay. So we have to try and master this trait of enjoying what you have. It's so hard. Last few days was very, very cold. Right? How do you survive? I don't know if I survive. So how do you survive? And the answer is, you look at the weather, you see, it's going to improve for the next few days. It's going to be 50s. So you focus on the positive. Focus on the positive. So it's a mitzvah to be happy. And the Rambam says, happiness in moderation. Everything in moderation. Even happiness in moderation. Don't be too happy. And don't be too sad. Plus, got to find that balance. In life, it's all about balancing. It's all about balancing the extremes. Not to be an extremist. It's very important not to. A person should learn not to be an extremist. You find people who are Baalei Teshuva. A Baal Teshuva becomes an extremist. This is not good, and that's not good, and this is not kosher enough, this is not her. Da 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 da. They drive you crazy. Last week, I nearly threw a guy at the shul. You drive me mad. Baal Teshuva, what do you want? So, extreme is bad. Person's got to learn. Extreme is bad. Come back to the golden mean. Rama says, you go on the extreme and then you come back to the golden mean. So it's a mitzvah to be happy, but happiness in the medium. Why? Because if you're high, then you're going to crash. It's like a person who enjoys, goes to the party, has a lot of drinks, gets high, and then next day, phew, crash. So Rama says, don't do that. Don't be too, too happy. But don't be too, too sad. So learn to find the medium in life. Person's got to learn to find to be smiling all the time, but not because what happens is the next day they'll be crying. So So it's a person gonna learn to challenge. The challenge is to stay the course, to be constant. It's very important to be constant. Judaism is all about constancy. You wake up the same time every morning, go to the minyan every morning, you go learn Torah every morning, every day. Have a system, have your day scheduled. It's a schedule, it's a plan for greatness. It's a plan for greatness, it's a plan for growth. A person should seek as much worldly pleasure as they need. Look at that, in the service of Hashem. We talked about how it's important to have aesthetics, to have a nice house. Because you have a nice house, improves your outlook on life. You live in a hovel, if you live in a piece of garbage, then your mind is limited to what you're living, your living conditions. So a person lives in a nice place, nice house, nice furniture. It's good. Why? You can serve God better. So people are so unused to you. This is Rabbi Yerucham. Rabbi Yerucham was the great Mashkiach of Mir Yeshiva.
Lubavitz?
Yes, yeah, Rabbi Yerucham Lubavitz. His grandson is in Gateshead, in Lakewood.
Yeah.
His grandson taught my son. Mm-hmm. And now he's our great-grandchildren now. Lubavitz, very, very famous family. He kept the Mir Yeshiva going. The only yeshiva that escaped Europe with everyone intact. Amazing, amazing story how they went across Russia. Amazing how they got tickets, and they got across Russia, and they went to Japan, and the Japanese put them in Shanghai. My rabbi came from Shanghai. He was Iraqi Sephardi. But he was living in Shanghai. There are a lot of Iraqis in Shanghai. They built the community in Shanghai. And then the Mir Yeshiva came and they influenced him. He became like an Ashkenazi Mir Yeshiva boy. So it's interesting. The whole family, they all married Ashkenazim. Why? Because they influenced. They all became Yeshiva Bacharim. It's amazing. Yeah. But they were living in Shanghai and the Mir Yeshiva was there. And they all, amazing, amazing.
But how he came before
them? Pardon?
He was there
because the Iraqis, they moved to the Far East. So in Shanghai, they invested. They had companies and buildings. In fact, there was a rich man in Shanghai. I think his name was Khadun or Khaduri, Khadun, Iraqi. And he built a big shul and he had a dream. His father came to him in a dream and he said, build a big shul. There's going to be a lot of people here. Imagine. Before the war, 1930, he gets this dream to build a shul. He builds this massive shul. No one there. There's only like, there's a minyan. But he built a big shul. It says the Mir Yeshiva filled it up to the seat. Exactly the amount of seats. You know, the big dining hall. So they go there to have a purpose-built building for them. It's a miracle. That yeshiva is a miracle yeshiva. It's a miracle yeshiva. No question about it. And because of this man who, through his emunah, through his bitachon, kept this yeshiva going. So look what he says. He says, people become so used to being unhappy, they are unaware of the needless misery they cause themselves. They imprison themselves by filling their minds with resentment, hatred, envy, and desires. What are their minds? All they think about all day is, I hate that guy, I hate that guy, I'm resentful for this guy, I don't like this person, this one. Whole life. Imagine. He says, I don't know, he said, how they live. They're full of unhappiness. So, these are thoughts that are in our minds and no one can even tell what's going on. On the outside, like, guy looks good, but in his head, he doesn't like this one, doesn't like this one, doesn't get along with this one, doesn't get along with this one. All the resentment, hatred, envy, and desires. So he says they become so used to living with such thoughts, they think it's normal. Instead of filling their minds with good things. That's the difference between a good eye and a bad eye. A bad eye is, this is bad, and this is bad, and this is bad, and this is bad. You know the joke of the guy joined a cult. He joins a cult, and in the cult, you're only allowed to say 2 words a year. Imagine, 2 words a year. So a year passed in the cult, and he goes to the head of the cult. No, he's allowed 2 words. He says, bed hard. A year goes by, he's allowed to say 2 years. He says, food bad. The third year goes to the head of the cult, he says, I quit. And the head of the cult says, I'm not surprised. Since you've been here, all you've been doing is complain. So some people, everything is negative, 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 negative. Say something positive. Be a positive person in life. Be a positive person. The glass is not always half empty. It's always half full. We have to look at the bright side of life. Baruch Hashem. We're all sitting over here. We're all breathing. Baruch Hashem. Everyone's breathing? Baruch Hashem. We're breathing. And you even have a smile on our face. Wow, fantastic. That's amazing. Breathing with a smile. That's good. That's fantastic. Hashem wants us to enjoy life. In fact, there's a midrash. I don't know if this is true. I don't think it's true. But there's a story. They don't say this about me. They say this about Rav Samson Rufal Hirsch. The story is, that towards the end of his life, he went to see the Alps. He went to the Alps. So they said, Rav Shemshon, why are you going to the Alps? He says, because when I pass away, Hashem's going to ask me, did you see my Alps? Did you see the beauty that I created in this world? Did you enjoy the beauty of this world? So there's an interesting Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, if a person sees a new fruit and does not taste it, he's transgressing Hashem's will. When you see a new fruit in the store, and you have to say Shechianu, you have to buy it and taste it. Why? Because God created it for us. He created it for us to enjoy. He created all these different... Imagine, Hashem could have created a very bland world. There's just one fruit every day, that's all you could eat. Imagine, Hashem gave us so much variety. So we have to enjoy the variety and thank Hashem for the variety. Thank God, Hashem. Be happy with the variety. It's amazing.
Can you, Rabbi?
Yes.
You can say also thank God when you watch in the videos like Blue Planet. Those beautiful
100%.
Places that Hashem created is amazing.
A person should see them. And say, you know, if you see them yourself, you can say the bracha. You see Niagara Falls, you have to say a bracha. You see the sea, you have to say a bracha. You see the Grand Canyon, you have to say a bracha. Thank God. Beautiful. It's beautiful. It's amazing. These things are amazing to show the greatness of God. If Hashem created a very small world with one planet, one sun, that's it. Imagine we have these stars. It's amazing. Yesterday it was a meteor rocket, a meteor fell on Cuba. Did you hear that? A meteor fell on Cuba. There was a big bang. Boom! Thank God, there's only a few small stones. It did no damage. But just think about meteorites. How many meteorites are falling around us? We're not aware of it. Amazing. Amazing. Think about it. This world is a complicated world Hashem made. Why? To show His greatness. Show how complicated He is. Hashem didn't create a simple world. He created a very, very complex world. To show how complex, how great He is. So Hashem created the world for us. Imagine. We have to think, the whole world was created for me. You go outside, the world is created for me. You go to the store, think about it. What do you want to buy? What do you want to go? Give me an example. What do you want to buy?
Vegetables.
Vegetables, okay. Think about some farmer somewhere planted those seeds, and then the other guy harvested it, and then it came to the store, and the truck brought it to you. For you. All for you. All these people work just for you. It's amazing. Think about it. And think about the tree that grows in your backyard that Hashem is making grow for you. It's amazing. Think about these things. So Hashem wants us to live a good life. And the Torah is there to make us enjoy life even better. What do you mean? Because the truth is, a person will burn up. We'll burn ourselves up if we don't know how to control our system. Let me give you an example. Overeating. Person doesn't know how to control themselves, will overeat, overindulge. And what happens? They get a stomachache, they get sick. A person does not control their alcohol intake, will get sick. A person controls the drugs, will get sick. Hashem says, you know what? You want to enjoy life? The first thing you have to learn is self-control. The first thing you have to learn is self-control. It's so hard. I'm telling you, it's so hard.
But the Torah teaches you how to have
self-control. How? How does the Torah teach you how to have self-control? You wake up in the morning. What do you have to do? You can't touch anything. You got to wash your hands. I can't move. 6 feet. Wash hands. And then what? And you got to go say your morning blessings. Then you got to pray. And then you can eat. Only then you can eat. So it's a process of learning how to control. Shabbat is all about control. We learned yesterday the laws of Muksa. You can't move this. You can't move that. What's going on? Go crazy, right? No. It's a way of learning how to involve yourself with your family and your friends, and learning Torah. So you don't have time for other things. It's not a time to waste. There's no time to waste on moving the hammer, and banging the door, and fixing this, and fixing that, and going to the mall. No, no time to waste. The world was created for us to have pleasure and satisfaction. It's not to live a life of toil and frustration. That's so many people have this life, which seems to be like just toil and frustration. Just frustrating them in life. And they have everything. It's not like they don't have everything. They have everything. So Torah gives us a path to happiness. That's what people forget. People think the Torah is there to trouble us. It's not. It's to teach us how to enjoy life to the maximum. I'm going to give you the tools, Hashem says, to learn self-control. And when you have self-control, then you can really enjoy everything. Because everything becomes, it's not like a drug that you have no control over. Everything becomes controllable. You can enjoy your wife, you can enjoy your children, you can enjoy your family, you can enjoy... That's how you enjoy life. That's how... Really, that's really the key to enjoying life. People forget. People don't have kids. They think they want to enjoy life without kids. You can't. Unfortunately, you can't. People think you can enjoy life without grandchildren. You can't enjoy life without grandchildren. It's true. If people think you can enjoy life without family, you can't. You have to have family to enjoy. Yes.
So we said that you have to be happy with what you have.
Yes. And even if you don't, you have to learn to be happy. You have to learn to be happy. It's a technique. You have to learn. So, the Rambam starts off, Yesod HaTorah, the foundation of the Torah. He says, we are obligated to love Hashem. How do you love Hashem? It's a very high level. How do you get to love to Hashem? It takes a lot of thought to come to love to Hashem. It takes a lot of thought to come to love Hashem. So how does a person come to... So Rambam writes, the way to love Hashem is to think about His creation and to become aware of His infinite wisdom. And the more you appreciate the complexity and the beauty of the world, the greater will you appreciate Hashem. You know, we're limited today. We are. It's a big problem in society today, is we focus ourselves on technology. The iPhone, the iPad, the iThis, the iThat, the oh, I. And we enjoy. Wow, this is technology. This is amazing. So it becomes like a worship of mankind. It's a worship of man's intellect. If you don't go out in the forest, you don't see the trees, and you don't see the stars, and you don't see the natural beauty of the world. You'll be stuck with the beauty of man's creation. But you won't see God's creation. That's our problem today. Our problem today is we are able to see man's creation, especially if you live in Manhattan. You're blocked by these massive towers. The man-made towers. You go around, you can't see the sky. You're blocked by all these massive buildings. Wow, Empire State Building. Wow, World Trade Center. Wow, wow, wow. You're missing the point. You can't even hear the birds chirping. There was a comedian, I can't say his name because he's in jail now. He had a routine. He said, listen, he says, General Motors makes a car, they say, wow, this car is amazing. General Electric makes a fridge, they say, wow, this fridge is amazing. General Dynamics makes an airplane, they say, it's an amazing, amazing airplane. He said, the car breaks down. The fridge, after 10 years, finishes. The airplane, after 10 years, is gone. The rabbits are still hopping, and the trees are still growing. God's will just keeps on going. Man's will comes to an end, but God's will keeps on going. So you have to remember, when the Torah says, Lo tov hiyot adam levado, it's not good for a man to be alone. The Ramban says, it's the first time the Torah says it's not good. What does it mean, not good? Ramban says, not good means it's not lasting. Something which is not permanent is not good. Whenever God said it was good, the light was good. The stars were good. The sea was good. The mountains are good. Why are they good? Because they last. Things which are permanent, that's God's creation. God's creation is permanent. It just keeps on going. Man's creations, they don't last very long. They're not good. They don't last very long. So we have to... Listen, when I was a kid, I was learning science. And me, I love science. I was an engineer. I very love science. But then when you get carried up in your own science, you forget about God's science. You forget about what's around you. That's the trouble. That's where the scientists, they can't see the forest for the trees. They're working on the rockets to go to the moon, but they can't remember who built the moon, who made the stars. It's amazing. If you look how many stars there are in the sky, the same amount of sand at the sea is the same amount of stars in the sky. 10 to the power of 23. You know what that means? 23 zeros. Put a 1 over there, 23 zeros. Put a 10 with 23 zeros. How much is that? Trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of stars. Hard to imagine. Hard to imagine. That's God's will. That's how God created the world. That's the beauty of God's will. So we have to be familiar with God's creation. Unfortunately, it's winter time, and we stay home, and we're in the bright lights of the neon lights of the lights, and we forget God's will. We can't see God's will. So it's very important to see God's world. When a person sees God's world, it's impossible not to say. David HaMelech says in Psalms, Ma rabu ma'asech Hashem. How great are your works, God? It's impossible not to say that. Because you'll see and say, wow. It's a wow. When you see thousands and thousands of stars, I was driving once to Montreal. And I stopped over there by the, I had to stop, it's 2 a.m. I had to stop to just to rest. And there were no lights anymore. The rest stops were dark. It was closed down. They closed. And I get out of the car now. Tell it to my wife. Wow. I've never seen so many stars in my life. Gosh. I didn't know there were so many stars in the sky. They see on average night there's like 6,000 stars you can see with the naked eye. And when you look at a star, you're looking back in time. Think about it. When you see a star, it's not there anymore. Because the light from that star, from the nearest star, takes 4 years to get here. You know that? The light from the sun takes 8 minutes to get here. When you see the sun, you're seeing light that left the sun eight minutes ago. When you see the nearest star, the light left the nearest star 4 years ago. That star is not even there anymore. It was there 4 years ago. And you see the furthest stars, thousands of years for that light to get here. That means it's not nowhere near it anymore. It was there thousands of years. You're looking back in time. When we look at the sky, we are looking back in time. People don't realize that. Looking back, think about it. His mind boggles. We're looking back in time. I'm looking back thousands of years to see that light that left the star thousands of years ago. Light years ago. It means the time it takes light to travel. Light travels 186,000 miles a second. Takes 8 minutes to get here from the sun. You know how far the sun is? If the sun would be a little bit closer, it would burn up. No life. If the sun a little bit further, no life. It's exactly the right place for life to exist on. It's an amazing miracle.
Excuse me, Rabbi, that means the astronauts, when they go to space, they're going to the past?
They're not going that far. They can't go that far.
But it's still, is it?
See, it takes 4 years of traveling the speed of light to get to the nearest star.
But it's still, I think they're coming out into a little fast.
Depends how fast you go. How fast they go.
They're not going.
They can't go faster than 25,000 miles an hour. That's it, 25. The speed of sound is 186,000 miles a second. They can only go. The maximum man can travel is 25,000 miles an hour. That's it. That's a lot, 25,000 miles an hour. But think about 186,000 miles a second. That's Einstein's theory. The faster you go, if you can pass the speed of light, you go back in time. The only trouble is, your mass increases to infinite. When you go, anyway, let's not go into the physics, but it's interesting. In other words, it's practically impossible to get to the speed of light. It's humanly impossible to get to the speed of light, even though you have these videos, Star Trek, and this and that. But it's practically impossible. As we know it today, it's impossible to go. But you know what? A human being can travel in time. How do we know? It's a midrash. Moshe Rabbeinu traveled in time. He ended up in the shiur of Rabbi Akiva. It's a midrash. The midrash says that Hashem showed him who's going to learn the laws of these crowns. And Hashem says, I'll put you in the shiur of Rabbi Akiva. He goes to Rabbi Akiva. So we see it's possible to travel. The mind is amazing because the mind can be in two places at the same time. How do you know? Because you know, some people here are dreaming about the beach somewhere. So in their mind, they're there. You can be in two places at the same time. It's amazing. The mind, the power of the mind is amazing. We know there's a thing called Kfitzat HaDerech. This is Yaakov Avinu. Vayivga b'makom. He happened on the way. What does that mean, he happened on the way? The rabbi said, he jumped and he just jumped. In split seconds, he was in a certain place. So there's such a thing, Kfitzat HaDerech. We don't even know how these things work. But obviously, it's the ability of the mind. It's not the ability of science. Or it's very simple. These things are in the mind. The power of the mind. We haven't harnessed 1/100th of the power of the mind. Not even 1/100th. So the power of the mind. We have to be able to understand the power of the mind. And that's how revelation, seeing God, is through the mind. So a person's got to harness the power of the mind. Prophecy is through the mind. So use your mind intelligently. And you will never be considered poor. Since in your possession is the entire world of nature. So by seeing nature and learning about nature, you'll be possessing in your mind nature, you'll see God's world. Just think about how many insects Hashem made. Guess how many kinds of insects there are? Thousands of types of insects, thousands of types of animals, thousands of types of leaves and plants. And it's amazing, it's just amazing. Appreciate the potential you have for benefiting from the world. See beauty and wisdom in every blade of grass. You know, one of my favorite times was when I was on vacation in the Poconos. I rented a little cabin over there and just seeing the lake and the trees. It was, the blue skies. Gorgeous, gorgeous. In the summertime, it's gorgeous. Just to go. So that's God's creation, just praying on the porch. Such a, it's mind blowing. It's mind blowing because you're attached to the creator of the world. It's very important to be attached to the creator of the world, which is very hard when you're in a man-made building with man-made lights and man-made this and man-made that, and then attaching yourself to Hashem is very hard. If you're in God's world,
skylights in here.
Yeah. You know, synagogue must have 12 windows. Why 12 windows? So the answer is because when you lose track of what you're praying for, you go and look up and see the sky, and then you remember Hashem. So it's very important. Creation brings us to love God, because love God, and you realize Hashem made for me. Look what Hashem made for us. Till today, air is free, Baruch Hashem. Thank God, thank God. Water, start selling water now. Don't buy the bottled water. It's bad for the environment. Bottled water is bad for the environment because the
food
is not free. I'm saying, the more you need is more free. Anyway, the things that you need the most are free. Air, Baruch Hashem. So far, they haven't found a way of selling Baruch Hashem. Thank God. Because bad for the environment. The plastic, all the plastic they would make.
He didn't say that.
Also, there's leaching.
Yeah, leaching for plastic also. So it's not good for you. Just make sure the water you're drinking is healthy. You gotta test the water you're drinking. That's all. So happiness is in the mind. A person's gonna know. Happiness is in here. I can't make you happy. You have to decide to be happy. And happiness, if you're happy, the world is happy with you. The whole world is rejoicing. When you're happy, the world is rejoicing. I didn't write it. Life is full of pleasure, which is available to all people. Listen, small things in life, one's going to learn to appreciate. Cup of tea, cup of coffee, chocolate cake. Ah. You got to learn how to appreciate these things and be in heaven. I'm in heaven. Why I'm in heaven? I'm in heaven. Person learns Torah, you're in heaven. You're with God. You're thinking about God, you're with God. You're praying. A person's going to learn how to make their prayers transformational. When you're praying to God, you have an opportunity to link to your Creator. You should be happy, the happiest thing. I'm with God right now. Don't interrupt. I'm with God. A person should say, don't interrupt. Go cell phone, switch it off. I'm with God right now. I'm talking to God right now. How can I interrupt? A person could be happy that they have this ability to be able to do that, to link to God any time, any second. So life is full of intense pleasures. But many fail to appreciate the pleasures. That's the trouble. We don't appreciate what we have. You're driving a car. I was thinking about this. There's two ways of viewing driving a car. The way I think of it is utilitarian. I need to go from A to B, and then when I'm late, I get very upset. But there's another way of looking at it, which is American way, is to enjoy the car. They're all into the cars. You know, you buy a car, you buy a car. Just sit there in the car, listen to the stereo system, and enjoy the car. Driving a car. So there's different ways. It's all to do with outlooks on life. Are you enjoying the ride or not enjoying the ride? Hashem will ask, imagine, a person goes to Hashem, after 120 years, Hashem says, no, were you happy? Nah, terrible world you made. Hashem, get out of here. Go back. I had a friend of mine. He lost his job because the boss told him to get him a go get him a cup of coffee. And he got him a cup of coffee, but he didn't bring a stirrer. And the boss got very upset. Got me a cup of coffee. Where's the stirrer? I can just put the sugar in the stirrer. So he told his boss, he says, you got an attitude. And the boss said, you got a worse attitude. Get out. So Hashem, he doesn't like people with attitudes. Hashem likes people who will come to Hashem and say, I had a great time, Hashem. I love your world. I love the world you created me. I love my spouse. I love my children. Thank you, Hashem, a million times for what you did for me, because I remember I was at the crossroads of life and you guided me to make the right decisions. So that's what we have to say. That's what we have to get ready to say. And that's what Hashem says. At the beginning of the Torah, he says, Hashem saw all he had made and behold, it was very good. On the sixth day, he saw all he had made and everything was good. Hashem loves to say it's good. Hashem doesn't like people who say it's bad. It's good. Life is good. LG. Life is good. LG. Life is good. Life is good. Person's got to know. Life is good. Whatever it is, can always be worse. So life is not only good. He says life is very good. His creation is very good. Dare a person say God's creation is bad? Hashem goes there. Hashem says, love is very good. Look what Hashem created us. The air we breathe. And it depends how dirty it is, but you know, it's not Hashem's fault, it's our fault.
Right.
Water. It's benefit for the body of delight. Sunlight, the wind, the rain, the trees, the gardens, the mountains, the seas, the moon, the stars, the fire, heat, cold, snow, dew, the use of our limbs, the ability to see, hear, smell, taste, and feel. Speech, thought, memory, the variety of food of every taste and color. You know, someone asked me last week, he says, how could the Jews in the desert do chesed? Now, your food fell from heaven. Your water was from the well. What could you do? People had everything. Your clothes grew with you. They repaired themselves. I don't know. No one was sick anymore. They were all in the desert. Amazing. So what chesed can you do with someone? They didn't have any needs. So he says, the Malbim says, I know, check this out. He said, the Malbim says that the rich people who knew how to taste food before, when they were in Egypt, who had food, good food, could tell the poor what to think when they ate the man. A poor person, what do you know? We had matzah in Egypt and water. So when he ate the man, he thought about matzah. So it tasted like matzah. The rich guys in Egypt said, listen, what about fish? You got to taste it like the fish, like the salmon. You got to taste like salmon. You got to taste like caviar. You got to taste like this, all these different things that no one even knows about. So they had to educate them. There's other tastes to think about, like jello and like ice cream and like this. That's the chesed they did. That's a very strange, interesting. But it seems like, in other words, you have to learn, you have to be a connoisseur. You know, we had a class here with a sommelier. You know what a sommelier is?
Yeah.
Sommelier. It's a wine taster.
Yeah.
Professional wine tasters. How many parts of your mouth can taste wine?
You have four sections for salt, yes. Sweet, sour, bitter.
So he says, number one is you don't even taste it. You look at it. The clarity of the wine. We don't even think about it. And then you smell it. So before, it's an art. To enjoy this world is an art. To enjoy this world is an art. I was going to learn how to enjoy. You don't just eat the chocolate cake. You have to look at the chocolate cake. Feast your eyes on it. That's the difference between a man and a woman. I'll tell you the difference between a man and a woman. Very simple. I went to a wedding in the Hilton in Israel. Hilton. Of course, my wife is with me. And we go. And we get served. Main course. And I said, and my wife said, oh. I said, what's going on? There's nothing on the plate. There's one little piece of chicken. One little piece of... She said, wow, but look at the decoration. I said, decoration, decoration. Wow, I want to eat something. So there's different ways of enjoying. I don't know. Is the enjoyment the looks of it, the food of the... Or is it the food itself? But we have to learn how to enjoy. How to enjoy life. How to enjoy everything. How to enjoy. You buy furniture, you feel the furniture. You look at the furniture, you like it. Enjoy it, enjoy it. Enjoy what a person has. You know, it's interesting. It's a disaster. I've been doing marriage counseling. It's a disaster. It's a disaster. Because the couple do not appreciate what they have. And you know who gets it in the end? The lawyer. The lawyer makes the money. They give everything they have to the lawyer. You go to this home, a nice home, beautiful home, beautiful furniture, beautiful things, beautiful. They're fighting. Appreciate what you have. Look around you. No, it's ego. This one, I don't like what she does. So, mostly what happens is they come with lists. She made a list. He did this. He has a list. Go back and write a list of all the good things you see in each other. What? What good is there in him? Well, you married him. Must be some good you saw. Come back with a list of good. Not listed bad. It's amazing. Think about it. Because why? They're so focused on the negatives, they can't see the positives. And that's very important in life. We have to look at the positives, not just the negatives. That's what God does. God says it was good. It was very good. Everything. He looked at everything. He looked at the positive of everything. So, one of the greatest regrets a person will have in the future is all the beauties that they had in the world and never enjoyed. Enjoy life. Enjoy what you have. Enjoy.
Did they come back with the right list?
Huh? It's very hard.
Well, you send them home with the homework.
Listen to this story. Listen to this story, Rachel. This is a story that even before marriage. This guy was a womanizer. He's a professor. Very brilliant guy. It's in Vancouver. It never happened over here. Brilliant, brilliant man. He was the president of our shul. President. Brilliant, brilliant man. But he was a womanizer. And he was going out with his, he was divorced, and she was divorced, and they were going out. And she would come to me, she says, Rabbi, I don't know if it's going to work. I said, Don't marry him. You know what? Negative psychology. Don't marry him, she married him. And then, 2 weeks later, she comes to me, I didn't do the wedding. Someone, she got another rabbi to do the wedding. 2 weeks later, she comes to me, she says, you are right. And she brings me a whole book, all the things he did. I said, rip it up, because it's too late. I told you not to get married, but now you're married, stay married. And thank God, they're still married. No. It's a miracle.
You still in touch with them from Vancouver?
I saw them when I was there. Huh?
How many years?
30-something.
Are they happy?
I don't know. I'd assume they're happy. I don't know.
Some people can't live with each other and can't live.
No, they're a very good couple. They got along very well.
They can't live without.
But once you focus on the negative, start making lists. It's over. If they focus on the positives, always focus on the positives, because there are positives. They're definitely positives. Everyone has a positive.
So have you gotten people to write these good lists? That's what I'm asking.
It's very hard to get to. It's very hard to get the list. Usually they don't show up again. Get a good list, it's very hard to get. People don't want to focus on the good. They want to focus on the bad. They're blinded. You know, I was talking about earlier, you know, yesterday's parasha. Number one is, we have to know the Torah is anti-slavery. How do you know the Torah is anti-slavery? Because it says Hashem created humanity in His image. Hashem created man, Betzelem Elokim bara otam. He created human beings in His image. What does that mean, in His image? He gave everyone the ability to think. All of us have some kind of spiritual, divine image in us. Each one of us. If Hashem created man with His image, it doesn't say this man was created with more, this man was created with less. We're all equal. Every single human being is equal. That's one of the major principles on which this country was built on, the equality of man. Human beings are equal, number one. Number two, the Jews were freed from slavery. People don't really realize. The first emancipation of slaves in history, the first emancipation of slaves in history was Yitzhak Mitzrayim. People have to remember that. The first thing Hashem does, He frees all of us. The slaves are freed. Okay? So we see over here anti-slavery efforts. Number two, the first mitzvah given in Mishpatim is when you buy a Jewish slave. Hey, 1 second. We said the Torah is anti-slavery. The slave goes free after
7 years.
On the seventh year, he goes free. Shemitah goes free. He can only work a maximum of 6 years. He goes free. Now think about that. A slave has to go free. That's not slavery. What is that? That's an indentured servant. He's a servant for 6 years. The seventh year, he goes free. There's no slavery. That's not slavery. If you have one bed, the slave gets the bed. If you have one pillow, he gets the pillow. If you have good food, he gets the food. You buy a Jewish slave, the rabbis say, Kana Evid Kana Rabbo. A Jewish slave becomes your boss. Wow. It's very hard to have a Jew in the house. You're cooking like this? That's not the way you cook. You cook like this. You put your furniture like this, not like that. You can put the sofa here, put this over here. It rearrange your house for you. It'll drive you mad. That's a slave. That kind of slavery is allowed. Where your slave is your master, that's allowed. And if the slave says, you know what, I got it so good, I don't leave. We take him to the door, and we put a little earring in his ear. We put a little hole in his ear. Why? Because you heard at Sinai, Hashem says, you are my slaves. You're not allowed to sell your slaves to anyone else. You are not allowed to be subservient to any other human being, because you are subservient to me. Every Jew is not allowed to be a slave. We're not allowed to be slaves. Not allowed to be slaves. If you want to be a slave, your ear gets, you know, these guys walking around with earrings.
How about an Eved Nochri?
Eved Nochri, I'm not talking about. Eved Nochri is different. It's different. Because why? Because that kind of slavery is a kind of freedom. It's freedom from idolatry. That's why. It's freedom. We have to talk about it some other time. But that's interesting. So we have to learn happiness. It's a state of, it's an art. Happiness is an art, how to enjoy everything you have. Think about it. Next time you go home, open up your closet. Feast your eyes on what you have. Now, some of it you didn't choose. Some of it's there because someone else bought it. But feast your eyes on what you have. And think about how grateful you should be to God. Thank you, Hashem. Look at this. Open up your fridge. I don't know what's in the fridge. I'm not sure. It's packed with stuff. I don't even know what's going on.
Grateful for the someone else who bought it because of they bought it because they care about you.
Exactly. So be grateful. Be grateful you have someone to look after you. Be grateful you have food in the house. Thank God we're so lucky. You go home and it's hot and it's warm. It's warm in here. Are you hot?
Yeah.
Okay. You got to be happy. Thank God. Listen, it was freezing the other day. We're very lucky. So we're blinded by what we have. That's the trouble. People who focus on what they're missing are blinded by what they have. While they could and should be extremely happy because of the positive elements in their life, they keep thinking about what they're missing. You always be lacking things you would like to have. But think about what you have already. Feel joy of what Hashem has given you and do not focus your thoughts on what He has not given you. He gave you exactly what you need. He gave you exactly what you need to fix your mission in life. We all have a mission in life. It's so hard because we got to find our mission. What is my mission in life? Person's going to look for their mission in life. What is your mission in life? Person's going to look. So we have to appreciate what Hashem gave us. Otherwise, we are like spoiled brats. Unfortunately, and that's our generation. It's the me generation. You raise a child, the child's a spoiled brat. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to a psychologist. He says like this. 20 years ago, people would come to him for therapy. And they would always say, I love my parents so much. I love my parents so much. And then he would try and find a way to show that the parents were not so great. And then 20 years, the last 20 years, the other way around, they come to him and say, I hate my parents, I hate my parents, I hate my parents. And he's going to find them, show them a way that really the parents really love them. It's a crazy society. We're living in a crazy society. Everything's upside down. So one of the things today is people are ungrateful, totally ungrateful. And one of the worst things Hashem hates the most. One of the things Hashem hates the most is an ungrateful person. A person who cannot say thank you. Why? Because the first word a Jew says in the morning is, Toda! Thank you. Modeh. Thank you, Hashem. Why is it so hard to say this word Todah? Because Todah and Modeh are related. Modeh means I bow to you. I submit to you. I agree with you. When you say thank you, you're admitting that you owe something. People today don't want to owe anything. People today do not want to feel like I owe you a penny. I don't owe you anything. My parents, I don't owe you anything. You owe me. I want this, and I want that, and I want that. I want a car. Buy me a car already. What are you waiting for? Look, this guy got a car, and he got a car. Why can't he buy me a car? Everyone wants. They don't say thank you. It's a tough situation. And it's hard to be a parent today, because you don't feel like they appreciate. You know, it says, Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger has a son. Man, think about it. Rabbi Akiva Eger, one of the greatest Ashkenazi rabbis ever. He has a son. His son didn't write him a letter. He writes a letter, Musar, to his son. The least you can do is write me a letter once a week. Kibud Avayim. What's the Kibud Avayim? Today we have to know Kibud Avayim. We owe our parents the biggest debt. Because without our parents, we wouldn't be here. Very simple. So our parents, even if the parents are the worst people in the world, Kibud Avayim still applies. The laws of Kibud Avayim apply. The person's not allowed to harm them. Not allowed to do anything negative to them. They have to respect them all their lives. So a person has... We have to appreciate what we have. Learn to appreciate. Learn to taste. Some parents find child raising a burden and constant source of frustration. So this is one of the professionals. He says, before I had children of my own, I wondered why there were so many cases of child abuse in the United States. But now that I have children of my own, I wonder why there's no more cases. But a person's got to focus on the positives of raising children. It really is, can be fun. And if it's approached as fun, it becomes fun. If you make the children part of the fun, make it a game, it's fun. It really is. Except for the one or two kids who give a hard time. Usually the kids are good. So when it rains, we're meant to think about all the benefits you get from rain. Really, we don't appreciate rain. We're so lucky. It rains. It rains in America. Thank God it rains. I mean, you go to California, it doesn't rain. And then they have fires. And then when it rains, like, what happens now? All the mud is washing away all the mud. Mudslides, terrible disaster. So we're lucky to thank God for the rain. In Jewish law, where do we put the blessing for rain? Baruch Ata Hashem Mechayem Etin. In the prayer for the revival of the dead. Because rain is giving the dead, the plants, dying plants, the ability to regrow. So, exactly. It's in the bracha of Mechayim Etim. It's interesting. Why? Because that's what gives us the ability. So delight in the rain. Delight in the spring. Bezrat Hashem, we'll see. I can't wait. Spring. Revel in the sunny summer. Love the vitality of autumn. And relish the bracing winter. Oh. So be happy. Appreciate it. So let's just recap a little bit. Happiness is a skill that can be learned. The essential factor of whether or not you're happy is not based on external factors such as your wealth or your success or your fame, but on your attitudes to life, towards yourself, towards other people, and towards events and situations. You can change your attitudes and master the attribute of happiness. Torah view is that happiness is possible for everyone, and it's an obligation, and a person's thinking is what brings them to happiness. So let's think positively and enjoy life as much as possible, and be happy with what we have. Amen.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you.